Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
The reason the show is called Not Taco Bell Material is because I attempted to get a job at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood that was by my house, and they said, thanks, but no thanks.
In Madison, Wisconsin, at the Capitol Theater on April 6th.
We're looking for a slightly higher caliber of retard.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material. Just added, Cleveland, May 17th. Detroit, May 18th.
Now I'm out on my own, and I've moved on to the fast-paced, lucrative world of carpet cleaning.
Adam Carolla.
Where a high school diploma will only slow you down, people.
Not Taco Bell Material. And don't miss The Adam Carolla Show live, April 21st in Santa Ana, California. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Real Estate Wealth Expo's Sam Del Canto and boxer Mike Lee. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a March for Our Lives themed round of Blah Blah Blog. And now, he also spent last night watching Stormy Daniels, but he didn't watch on 60 Minutes. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend, and thanks to Hims. Go to forhims.com/Adam. Get your first trial month for just $5. Tell you more about that. And also, of course, Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get your 24/7 protection. Just $15 a month. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
I think I'm the king.
Larry King, everybody. All right. Had an interesting, it's kind of weird when you get a little bit older. Well, your kids get a little bit older and they start having opinions.
Nope. Uh-oh.
God forbid. And my daughter has her opinions and my son has his opinions. And so the topic of the march on Washington came up.
Oh.
And I think one of their friends is going. And to be fair, they have some older siblings who I think are going, and they're going along, but still, you know, age 11, 12, yeah. Going on the march on Washington.
Son, he didn't say this is just a huge waste of his time?
Oh, he did. He said it's a huge waste of time, and I said, yes, don't ever get involved with those idiots who march about stuff. You can want things to change, you can do things, you can have opinions, but this stupid march never gets anything done.
And Natalia runs in with her suitcase, wait for me!
Yeah, so she felt strongly the other way. And then they argued back and forth for a while, and then they wanted me to settle it.
Uh-oh.
It's always funny. The thing that's funny about kids and adults, but kids especially, and I think maybe Natalia, is like Natalia will come into my office and go, what do you think about the march? And I'll say, well, I don't think the people who are marching are bad people, but I don't think it's going to get anything done. And then she'll march, pardon the pun, back in the next room, and she'll go, Daddy said marching was a great idea and you're retarded, and have a botched circumcision, and then she'll leave, and I'll go, I can hear her saying it. I'll go, that's not what I said.
Things
you're not,
do get misconstrued between the living room and the bedroom.
Telephone's
it's a good
fun
22
game.
Foot of hallway, yeah. to really concoct a story, but I do like it that kids, what kids do obviously is they spin it the way they want to spin it, sure. And now you realize, well, forget about kids, news agencies. Yeah. Now it's adults with plaques on their walls and degrees on their walls are all spinning everything they want to spin it now. It used to be just kind of it was the fertile soil of, you know, grade schoolers into junior high. Now it's just the zeitgeist.
Kids can be forgiven for having confirmation bias. Like they hear what they want to hear and they'll grab every fifth word to make a sentence that makes sense to them.
But Fox and CNN have some explaining to do.
I said, so at a certain point, they both marched in and they wanted an answer. Like, was this a good idea? I said, was this a bad idea? But I haven't given it much thought. I don't have a lot of thoughts about guns and gun rights and gun controls. I know that sort of blanket statements of somebody's got to do something and then you leave the room is not really
helpful.
Not getting it done. I'd like some ideas. And then there's that thing where it's like, well, what about bump stocks? And I go, all right, get rid of bump stocks. I'm for that. But then the other part of me says, well, that's not going to do anything to do anything with this, but get rid of them. Right. But it's still not going to do anything. It's kind of this like, would you like to do something? And the answer is yes. And if you'd like to do something, you know, it's like saying, I want to save the environment. And someone goes, good, there's some Kleenex on the ground. Pick it up. And you go, okay. And you pick it up and they go, there. And you
done.
Go, it's good. I mean, I'm not saying leave it on the ground, but in terms of your overarching
enacting worldwide change,
what you'd like to do, right. Look, I don't want more Kleenex on the ground. And I agree that if that Kleenex gets picked up, it's not a bad thing, but I'm not sure what it does to the bigger
global
overarching
picture.
Global whatever. So I said, look, I'm for a lot of this stuff. The problem is bad guys don't always go play by the rules, and there's so many guns out there, and it's really, I mean, millions of guns. But anyway, so I said, look, here's my problem with the march, and as far as I can tell, you can take this school shooting, and many school shootings, but this particular last, the one that's sort of implement
the tipping point
for the march, I said, I would like to break it down into three categories.
Okay.
The three categories are what could have been done before the shooting, the multiple visits to the house and the online guy to the gun dealer saying, I'm going to shoot up a school, and him reporting it to the FBI and the FBI not doing anything. The cops showing up and not doing anything, social workers, whatever. The multiple rounds of attempts to nip these things in the bud, all the stuff we want to put in place for all the troubled kids out there. So that we can spot the problem before the tragedy and enact.
It's probably the biggest,
Right. So I said, okay, that's component one is that, and we failed miserably.
Right. On to prevention.
It's a miserable failure on that. Now, and I would like to talk about things that could be done in that department, because to me, if you say, get rid of bump stocks or even clips that hold more, or, you know, I'm not for automatic, but semi-automatic is pretty damn dangerous if you think about it. As fast as you can squeeze, if anyone's been to a firing range and held a rifle and gone semi-automatic, a lot of damage can be done in a semi-automatic mode. The machine gun mode, I'm not a military expert, but I would guess most guys in battle in a military situation don't go full automatic because you're just going to go through your clip that fast and you're not necessarily going to get what you want. I'm guessing
most
our Marines, when they're in the shit, are probably in semi-automatic mode.
That makes sense.
It seems, in the movies I've watched, they seem to be in that mode unless they're showing off. And unless Jesse the Body Ventura is like pulled apart off a Gatling gun.
He has a helicopter gun.
By the way, there's no other part that actually works when you rip it off a helicopter or rip it off a tank or rip it off an A-10, where they actually just pull this whole thing off and it still functions perfectly.
Yeah, it's actually more effective.
They just hold it up. Something powers it. And so there's a belt that's never ending.
Because on the helicopter, it's bolted in one place. In your hand, it's all over the place.
Gatling guns still continue to function when you yank them off whatever they're originally bolted onto.
Good to know.
So, I said, I'm all for all these rules, but I'm not sure how big a dent it puts into things, but okay. So I said, anyway, this problem, there's three problems here, as I can see. There's one, what did we do, the multiple chances we had a chance to do something before this guy went on his rampage. That was a failure. And there's plenty of policy to talk about in that department, you know. The second part was training. What did these guys do? What did the cop do, the sheriff do, when he got to the hallway? And as they say, every time you hear a gunshot go off, consider that one more dead kid.
Right.
And you stood there and heard multiple gunshots without engaging. And I think you can go, well, he didn't have the training or this and that, but everyone since Columbine has had the engage. You must go in and engage.
It's the one thing he's there for.
Right. He did not engage. The other officers didn't engage as well. Now, their timeline was different, but either way, you had four guys not engaging. So I said, that's another component of it. And that component could also be talked about versus training. How many guys are there? What is their training? Who's armed on that campus? And what is the plan? That's another thing we can talk about. And then the third part is gun control and gun regulations, which is the part that they're marching on. Now, that to me is the least effective component of this. Now, if we could go back 100 years and march on it, by all means. But with 300 million units, handguns and whatnot already out in circulation, and any criminal or any troubled kid can get his hands on something illegally, then, you know, 3-day waiting periods and background checks. I'm for all of it, but I'm not looking at it as taking a major bite out of crime when it comes to this. So what I said to Sonny and Natalia was, there's three parts of this. The least effective part is the part they're solely focused on 100%. And to me, that's a waste of time. I would like the march to be focused on that and that and this, you know, like a multi-tiered thing. Because you can go down to Washington and you can get rid of the bump stocks, and you can add a week to a waiting period, and you can say no one under 21 can buy. You can do all that. Still don't think it's going to prevent the next nut job. Couldn't hurt.
Right.
And in general, and I'm all for the general awareness part, but that's how Pops Carolla saw it.
It's also hard to march on nuanced topics. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have the sign.
Doesn't chant
the
well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do we want?
Well.
Better background checks and then more attendance.
First,
you know,
and foremost.
Right.
It's getting a little wordy, this chant.
Yeah.
Right. So that was an interesting yes.
Question.
I was proud of Sonny later on that morning when it was he and I eating breakfast. Boy, you know, kids, you know, they got it made when they forego the offer of breakfast. Like when you go to the kids, hey, you want to go out to breakfast? And
yes.
Sonny's like, yeah, let me check my biorhythm wheel. And then Natalia's like, yeah, I'm good. Like, could you imagine if my parents said to me on a just a given Saturday, not, you know, hey, it's your birthday, or hey, you've been riddled with cancer, or like, hey, no, hey, it's just Saturday, want to go to breakfast? I would have thought, okay, they're going to tell me they're getting divorced.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
Or that I may have the cancer.
Sure.
Or the cancer's getting divorced.
Or that your sister has cancer. Like, well, what's up? What's the rub? Yeah. What's the rub? Because we couldn't just possibly go eat waffles and enjoy each other's company on a random Saturday. There's a rub here. I have leukemia. You're giving me away to an orphanage. Like, whoa. I would be suspicious.
Sure.
My son's like, all right. And my daughter's like, yeah, no. And I'm like, okay. So
thanks for doing me a favor.
Me and Sonny then went out to breakfast/lunch. And then here's how you know that you're the lazy family. When we take off for breakfast, the first three places that are suggested don't serve breakfast anymore.
Okay.
That's how you know we're part of the lazy group. Like, oh, how about we go to Yes, sweetie, they stop serving at noon. Like, we don't get moving. I'm breakfast guy, but
options have become quite limited after noon.
Yes. Yeah. We're not a elderly couple in a Norm's commercial. It is us. Like
$5.99 for steak.
It is funny when you talk to people who do things in the morning versus our family. Yeah. Like, I went over to my sister's house. It was like 3 p.m. and she went, what do you guys do today? And we went, oh, this is it.
We're just
starting. Like, what do you mean do today? Yeah. Talk about late last night? We were pretty drunk. Like, today, you mean?
In stark contrast to that, we did take Tessa out for brunch, breakfast at like whatever it was, 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And of course, she's a toddler. She's too young to know anything or order for herself or all that stuff. So we ordered her, Christy ordered her French toast. I'm like, oh, French, let's see how this goes. She eschewed it. She said, no French toast. Ooh. She only wanted cottage cheese.
What? Wow. No. Is she Vinny's kid?
No, she loves dairy, all things dairy. It's cottage cheese, milk, all that stuff. But got her the lovely, at the old-timey diner, not like the trendy place, but like John O'Groats on Pico, like the old-timey, you know, diner, the family diner. And she only wanted the cottage cheese.
In contrast to that, can I tell you how I cook breakfast this weekend?
Yes.
Over a campfire.
Over a campfire. Yeah. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
1 second.
You built a campfire and you live in the
house? I want to know.
Did.
I didn't finish the story, which is when I was sitting, and then we'll get to over the camera. I was sitting with Sonny, and I said, so overall feelings about the march? And he's like, I love it. And I'm like, you love it? And he's like, why wouldn't I? And I said, but I thought you weren't down with it. And he's like, are you kidding? March Madness? Who wouldn't be down with March Madness?
God,
and I was like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
He heard the march and he thought he was talking about basketball.
Yeah.
And he was down for
it.
So you were camping?
Yeah. You know, my go-to place to just sort of reset the old barometer is Joshua Tree. Love it. Go as often as possible. Go every couple of weeks. And a couple of friends and I went down and I was in charge of everything, which should never happen. But I got to tell you, it worked out really well. I brought all the food, cooked it over a campfire. It's way easier to do vegan because you don't know what the refrigeration stuff's going to be. So no dairy, no meat. But it was, I mean, I would prefer dairy and meat. I just didn't know if that was going to be an option. And I cooked everything for everybody. Everybody
I
got to
say, going camping, you and I should camp.
All right.
Because I've gone camping with guys with high self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I'd rather go camping with someone with low self-esteem.
Can
because
do.
There's like, hey, who's going to collect that firewood, sweetie? It's not going to collect itself. And you're like, I'm sorry. You stop like cleaning a pan
That's
with a Brillo pad.
Exactly what happened.
Or scrambling eggs and go, sorry.
I'm
and then, and by the way, this beer's gone loop because it's been my hand because you didn't get a koozie. And then a fresh one comes on and then you take off. You go to camping with people with high self-esteem and they're like, you make the tent. So no, you make, no, I'm not big. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly the role I played. And we just wanted to do a little quick little walk into the desert just to look at the Joshua trees and relax. Long story short, got lost for 3 hours, found our way back to the campsite in the pitch black, and have never been so grateful for my life.
Chased an Indian.
Yeah.
PCP
and meth and Molly and alcohol and no sleep.
Jesus,
it was really fun. Yeah, man.
You went with girls?
Yeah, just a couple friends.
All right.
We do that kind of shit all the time.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun. You guys are welcome to come. We'll bring you a couple of beers.
I like that. I like the notion of camping. I don't know if I could get anyone in my family to do that.
I was going
to
say, it's been decades.
With me.
Never as an adult.
I used to go camping quite often, like twice a year, something like that. I once, like I said, drove from... let's see. Me and Philip the Juggler went from Caesars in Tahoe and drove through
Mammoth,
and then through into
Yosemite.
Yeah, Yosemite area.
Were you there, Brian?
Yeah, no, I know the area.
He knows the area and camp somewhere in Mammoth.
Yeah,
just,
that's awesome.
Just awesome.
Yeah,
just awesome. And it's one of those things that I don't think people. Less and less people do because less and less people understand this sort of self-imposed discomfort.
Right. Why would you do it to yourself?
Right.
Is the prevailing thought.
Right. Yeah. You got a nice sofa. You got a nice stove over here. Right. You got air conditioning. You got a big flat panel TV. What are you going camping for?
Do everything for you anyway.
But if you can just put that aside for 1 minute, what you get back in return when you are sleeping under a clear blue sky and it's beautiful and you challenge the universe to bring you a problem. It can't be done.
It. You're a good camper.
No. That's what I'm saying though. I'm not. I'm a Jew. We don't do this, but I've become super into it because I couldn't find my phone. I couldn't have been happy. Can you imagine if this wasn't sitting next to me, the panic I'd be in right now?
I wouldn't recognize you.
But when you're out there, it doesn't matter.
She pointed at her crotch.
I sure did.
Okay. let's see. Me, Madison Capitol Theater, April 6th, one-man show. That's coming up, Madison, so I'll come see you. And then Santa Ana Esports Arena, that's April 21st. That'll be us live, doing a live podcast. We got Cleveland and Royal Oak and... where's that? Detroit, and then Portland and Seattle. Just go to amcarolla.com for all that stuff. Sam is supposed to be calling in, but I haven't heard from her yet.
We're calling her. We're checking in.
Okay. So something that I think Dawson sent me a tweet or sent out a tweet over the weekend, which got me to thinking, which I liked. I liked his thought, which is... It was kind of on the heels of Brian Koppelman, who comes in here. And every time I talk to Brian Koppelman, he goes, oh, we don't agree on anything but this one thing or something. And then when we're done, we talk about doing projects, working together, doing this, that, and the other. And I thought, well, where does the we don't agree on anything part come in? And then I think there's a tweet about David Crosby. It said, well, they don't agree on anything, but they found some common ground. And then
yeah, Dawson called you guys polar opposites.
Polar opposites. And I realized this is a sign of the times, or maybe there's, for some reason, it's necessary for people to think this way.
Mm-hmm. That extreme labeling.
Brian Koppelman and I think probably the same into the mid-90s mm-hmm. on life. I bet we raise our kids the same way. I bet we have the same approach to family and society and almost everything. Almost everything. Okay. But for some reason, we're living in a time where if you want border security and that's the only thing you disagree on, then you disagree on everything. Yeah. You're a total opposite. Me and David Crosby are not total opposites, I would guess, on 90-something percent of topics that you brought up to us.
You both have kids coming out of the woodwork?
Yeah, I got a couple in Mexico that just learned to call me Papa. And
Papa.
Papa. And so Dawson pointed that out, which I agree with. And I don't know why it's a weird it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's no reason to do that. I hasten to say that there are many people in your life, including your spouses and things like that, who happen to like this band and you don't care for this band, or politically happen to feel about this and you don't feel about that. There's no, you're certainly not polar opposites. Right. And when it comes to raising your kids and how you live in your society and what your jobs are in society and your neighborhood and sort of micro and macro, you're simpatico on everything.
Yes.
But why? Why is this?
I wonder if it's the aforementioned CNNs and Fox Newses of the world. And by that, I mean a lot of media, which is in order to create conflict, like you see, like some of the people they have on their shows, and it's not so much, let's discuss some issues in a nuanced or interesting way. Let's just have these people yell at each other.
Sound bites.
Yeah, for 20 minutes, then we'll go to commercial, and they yell at each other some more. It's, and those two people who are yelling at each other probably have worked together or in some capacity for the same person. Or
sure.
Like they're in the same, you know, beltway, as it
Politicians
were.
Used to be like that, and it doesn't seem like that's the way anymore.
Yeah, but why... When did we become so affected by what's on cable news channels? Like,
I think it's a part of it. I wonder if social media is a part of it too, where someone posts, like, it could be about a march, could be about anything. Like, this thing's amazing. And then some friend says, this thing's terrible. And all of a sudden, you two are polar opposites. When in fact, you're friends. You've probably been friends for years and you disagree about this one thing.
And I also wonder how people in their 50s, 40s, 50s, beyond can not have any interest in a subject for 50 years on the planet, and then all of a sudden they're pushing the candle through a paper plate and they're going, we're hitting the streets and we're taking it back. And it's like, how come you never brought this up before, and how come it's never discussed? And then are you that easily swayed by just the zeitgeist? Like, you turn on MSNBC or you turn on Fox and you're that, you've gone from zero conversation to this to nonstop conversation about it in a millisecond.
Yeah. It reminds me of it's a scientific thing, and Chris can maybe look it up to verify, but it's something along the lines of, like, a human being and a chicken have like 90-something percent of their DNA is the same. I mean, think about
all
it.
Right.
Two eyes, a heart, two legs, two arms, more or less, you know, all the same stuff. One mouth,
two wings,
lungs, all that
one
stuff.
Beak.
But we're so radically different, but in fact, we're actually quite the same.
Yeah, although that way makes literally food for thought. That way makes sense. It's kind of weird. The number, I don't know where this ranks. I just thought of this. I just had myself a delightful omelet on Saturday, so I'm omelified. But I don't believe I've ever put chicken in an omelet.
Don't do it.
I had a chicken omelet on Saturday.
And
Christy and I went back and forth. I can't eat chicken and omelet.
We've talked about this. It's a vendetta.
It's
the mother and it's the mother and son vendetta.
It's weird. Okay,
it's disgusting.
I can hold on. I believe you can have like a chicken sausage cut up into it, but that's as far as it goes.
Agreed.
And even that, I'd rather have pork.
Agreed.
Also, I feel like chicken is way, I mean, thankfully, I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to arrive at this moral crossroads because I have ham and bacon and many other things, beef
wonderful
and
meats.
Many, many chorizo and like many other things I want above chicken in my omelet, so I don't have to wrestle with it, but you didn't wrestle.
Not, no, because it's it's a part. I'll tell you what my favorite omelet is at John L. Groats. It is the omelet. It's the Roma. It's chicken, mozzarella, and marinara sauce. That's a delightful omelet.
I like that. Oh, I like everything about that, but it's just the chicken bumps me. I do the exact same thing with a chorizo or like a Jody Moroni, like Italian sausage in there.
I'll never turn my nose
minus,
up a good chorizo.
Minus the exact same thing, pull the chicken and put in the sausage. Sorry.
I don't think I could do chicken in an omelet, but what if it was a fried chicken omelet? That would be awesome. I would order a fried chicken
omelet. Yeah, except we're not black, so.
Dude.
We really can't be seen with that. I'm just saying. It's weird,
I do feel
but
like
I'm glad it's not good omelet material for me.
I feel like I'm in the minority because sensible people like you and Christy and Gina find it weird.
Just to put a bow on this subject, because I didn't want to make it news, because it's not news, because it's disgusting and it's a commercial. But did you hear what Red Lobster is doing? They're putting a lobster tail on a waffle and drizzling it with syrup, and that is a new product that they're
rolling. Red Lobster knows its clientele.
What is
lobster
it?
Tail on a big Belgian waffle? There it is, fried lobster tail on a Belgian waffle, dripping in a syrup.
That's graduation night.
Yeah, I told you.
Special occasion.
Oh, and the waffle's made of Cheddar Bay biscuit mix.
Now we're talking.
I went to a Red Lobster one time with Jimmy to research a movie. We were ending up, there was a scene where we're ending up at a Red Lobster, and I turned to Jimmy and he turned to me and I said, I've never eaten at a Red Lobster before. And he said, me neither, because to me, Red Lobster's always kind of been, it's like if Giamella's, like your favorite Mon Pa sub place, was on one corner and they charge $6 for a foot long. And then there was a Subway on the other corner, and they charged $9 for a foot long. Would you ever go into the Subway?
There'd be no justification.
At the same price, there'd be no justification. Right. But at a higher price, why would you ever go in there?
Way too expensive for the grads.
We just went right on into the, research. And they had something on the menu called a Lobsterita, which is a margarita.
We get it.
It conjured up a lot of like bassomatic kind of thoughts. And I remember Jimmy and I were kind of making a face like, and thankfully he paid. Uh-huh. And we just had some fair to lower Midland, super expensive food.
Only time you've been to a Red Lobster, obviously.
That's the only time. And I could never figure out why.
I think I've posed this hypothetical on the show before, but if I have, it's been years. What is in the spirit of Red Lobster? What is the, let's just say, chain restaurant? What is the chain restaurant you've seen the most number of advertisements for versus the least number of times visited personally? For me, it's Applebee's. 20,000 to 1 to 0. I've never been in Applebee's. I don't know where an Applebee's is.
I think
that was like a rec center.
I know
in
it's
high
eating good in the neighborhood because I've seen 20,000 commercials.
Yeah,
they had a lady-oriented sports bar called the Douchey Maxi Pads.
Uh-huh.
And I don't...
Couldn't get away from those commercials.
I was buried with them when I was a young person at the franchise.
Jingle. Douchey Pads. Come on in.
I'm trying to think. Red Lobster, I've seen 200 million commercials for. I've never... And I get it. Somehow... And I get how they work. You take a lemon wedge and you spray it in slow motion on lobster tail.
That's the money shot.
And then do the slow motion of it into the drawn butter. And it's hard not to get you to dive at the TV set and make a move. But you have to have cooler heads prevail.
Yeah.
Had Christy not brought me to a Sonic once, Sonic would be up there too.
I'd say Wendy's. Uh-huh. I never had a Wendy's in the neighborhood.
Okay. Oh.
There just wasn't anyone. There's nothing on my route.
Okay.
There were no Wendy's on the route.
Availability, sure.
Right. But Red Lobster's way up there. And then there's just Shaq and the General.
I've not partaken.
Call 1-800.
I got a real Arby's deficit.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty low. I'm pretty low on Arby's. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's Chili's. I don't think I've ever been to a Chili's.
Oh, delightful baby back ribs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let me tell you about hymns first. 65% of men start losing their hair by age 35. I just got my hair cut 2 hours ago.
Looking sharp.
Humble brag.
And the lady barber gal.
There's just no barbers these days.
Lady barber female fallopian tubing gal. She said, "Oh, you're a good head of hair." And I said, "Yeah, thanks." And she goes, "Man, when it starts going early 20s. Like, I can see it making its making its move." And she said, "Start thinking about Paul Bryan." But
it'd be nice.
Didn't say anything.
Early 20s, trying to set some kind of record?
Certainly by 35, man. 4hims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. And thanks to science, baldness can now be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors, real medical grade solutions to treat that hair loss. But let's nip it in the bud. Got to get to it before it goes. Generic equivalents of name brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements. No waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our visitors, by the way, our listeners get a trial of a month of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. So cost you hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com. 4hims.com/Adam. That's 4hims.com/Adam. forhims.com/Adam. And check it out. All right. Let's see. Sam. Were we going to... Oh, we had a blah, blah, blog. Let's see. Hey, can you ask Sam if we can just reschedule? What's she calling, about 15 minutes late?
Yeah.
Let's just see if we can reschedule.
All right.
With her. Well, I'll give it a plug, but let's see if we can reschedule. Let's play some, well, you can queue up over there. Let's play some blah, blah, blog.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
So this is a March for Their Lives themed round of Blah Blah Blog. Here we go. We stand in solidarity with the survivors of gun violence and students who are calling for action on common sense safety laws.
Hold on. I can't hear another person say, I can't wrap my mind around it. I cannot wrap my mind around adults with a straight face, like whether they're on whatever network they're on, going, when a young child shows up in a classroom, they don't deserve to be shot.
They shouldn't have to worry about
it. They shouldn't have to worry about being shot. And no child deserves to be shot.
Agreed.
In a class or outside of a class. Like, okay,
sure.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Like, and could we do a new thing where the person, when they make their blovatuti
proclamation
to please stop answering the person and going, yeah, no, nobody deserves to be the other person.
I know what a lot of people think.
I do know. No, there's a lot of people that don't deserve to be shot. Like, just stop it. Just stop it. Go, yes, go on, Your Highness. Go on. Like, stop even
entertaining
it, right? Because I don't know why you would do what adults do this.
Like a lawyer will lawyers will stipulate to certain facts about the case before they actually get into debating the case, pro and con. Like, let's stipulate that we all agree that no kids have to worry
about
being
shot. Get in front of this
shot.
Now.
Yeah, we can all agree, and we can start at square two, square one.
Yes, sorry. Go ahead, Dawson.
All right, from the top. We stand in solidarity with the survivors of gun violence and students who are calling for action on common sense gun safety laws at hashtag March for Our Lives around the country. Is it Michelle Obama, Kim Kardashian, or Madonna?
Oh.
All right, so now let's see. I'm eliminating Madonna because I don't feel... I feel like Michelle Obama... Great arms.
Yeah.
Something guys have never said, but chicks always say, because guys don't care. Oh, you mean those things that swing next to your tits? What are those called again? Those are called arms. Oh, right. Things we get the hand jobs with. Right.
You guys are the arms?
You know, if we wanted, they should get a publicist to call them arm jobs. That'd get me a little more involved here. I'd be more interested.
Hands is hanging on for dear life.
I love that, chicks. Great arms. Madonna, great arms. All right. Have you ever commented on a woman's arms, any heterosexual guy in this building?
The most has been in this last 10 seconds.
Okay.
This is making me feel better about wearing short sleeves.
The comment...
Well, you have good arms. I've noticed for years.
All right. So I feel like if Madonna commented, she'd go stronger.
Yeah.
This is a generic.
Yeah.
And it's also like, I'm in the zeitgeist, so I must put this out. Yeah. They need a comment.
Yeah,
it's like
right. You're right.
It's like you're a famous comedian and another famous comedian died, and then we're really friends of yours, but you have to give a comment that he'll be missed.
Yeah.
So now we get between Michelle and the Kardashian, and I feel it's a little bland for Michelle. It's like somebody just somebody whipped it up and put it out there. I'm going Kim Kardashian.
Your breakdown of how you got to Kim is unbelievably more detailed than mine. Mm-hmm. I was simply going Kim because it started with "we stand in solidarity," and generally Kardashians speak for each other. So that's why I was going with "we."
Okay. I thought "we" was the key also, but I'm going with Michelle for that reason.
Well, Brian was not smart. The blog belongs to Kim Kardashian. Ah. Well done, guys.
There you go.
Now, does she physically type?
It's not a referendum of smartness. Guess who typed it?
Do we? Does Kim Kardashian type any of that, or is that? Does she have somebody who just kind of cranks that stuff out?
Oh, as well, one who's watches. I mean, just never seen the show once in my life. She does a lot of on the phone. So she, I'm thinking she does.
But also, might not be the kind of thing they'd want you to know if you're watching the show.
True.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, our next tweet comes with a picture, and it also has a hand clap emoji. So to piss you off, I'm going to use the hand clap from Steve Miller's Take the Money and Run.
Clap back!
I brought Trayvon with me to the rally. I felt he should be there.
Mm-hmm.
He is still the first
person. From Friends.
That's true.
That's both, isn't it?
And maybe both.
I think Friends has one more.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. You're right. It is Take the Money and Run.
Thanks.
Woo-hoo.
That was close.
Mm-hmm.
He is still the first person I see in the morning.
Guess who doesn't miss? Guess who doesn't miss Take the Money and Run or Friends?
Adam Carolla.
Trayvon Martin.
Oh.
Sorry. Don't laugh.
I thought you liked Friends.
Cruel and racist. I like Friends. That's right. I'm just saying, probably not high on this list. All right.
I feel horrible for laughing.
Yes, you should feel horrible.
Is it Cher, Kerry Washington, or Alyssa Milano?
Ooh, interesting.
Mm. One of these people claims that Trayvon Martin's the first person they see every morning. Did I hear that right?
Sorry, we have to hear it again. And now we have to have the isolated Friends and Take the Money and Run as well.
I brought Trayvon with me to the rally. I felt he should be there.
Mm-hmm.
He is still the first person I see in the morning.
Still the first person.
That's really depressing.
It is. Let's see.
Ooh, okay.
Trayvon, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're mixing and matching a little. You know, it wasn't a cop shooting, but it was a guy, I guess, who had a
stand your ground
thing, but it wasn't a school thing. It was
correct.
Whatever. I don't know.
Wrestled with a guy on a sidewalk. All right. Can't be Cher.
Cher's pretty, she really gets her thoughts out there on Twitter, though.
But isn't that a cultural appropriation now? Like, you can't pick a young black boy and be a 70-year-old Cherokee Indian woman.
Armenian.
And say,
half,
huh?
It's half Armenian.
You gotta watch the video.
You're right.
She's Indian. Or half Indian. And take a young black boy and say, I look at him every morning.
I don't know where to go with this one.
I'm going Kerry Washington.
As am I.
All right, I'm going to take Alyssa on this one.
The blog belongs to Cher.
What?
Oh, we're all dumb this time.
Wow.
I didn't see that coming.
Every morning.
Every morning.
All right.
Next
life.
Up.
All right.
No one should have to go to school in fear of gun violence.
Yeah. Oh, nobody. Come on, they're not three asshole kids who deserve this. Like, how about a kid who tortured a kitten or something? Shouldn't that little prick have to go to school and be in fear of gun violence?
Are they not bad kids?
Yeah. What about the ones that are going to end up? What about the kids who go to school to shoot other kids at school?
Oh.
Shouldn't they worry about gun violence? All right. I say there's some.
Or to a nightclub. Or to a concert. Or to a movie theater. Or to a place of worship. I've made a donation to show my support for the students for the March for Our Lives campaign.
Hold on. These kids are going to nightclubs?
I was going to say, it's a busy day for this kid.
For everyone
affected. A lot of range. He's going to a place of worship, and that's right off to the nightclub.
For everyone affected by these tragedies and to support gun reform. Is it Kathy Griffin, Common, or Taylor Swift?
Ooh, these are strong.
This is tough. Man, this is tough just because they're all so sort of no theme popping up here.
Right.
No kid should have to go to school and then all these other places. Did they mention Trader Joe's? Because they might want to add that to the list, because my nanny goes to Trader Joe's and sometimes brings the kids. Right. So
that's another place.
See if we can get that on the list.
Dave and Buster's.
Nobody should have to. I love that. I just love the no woman should have to worry about being raped from the man she married. It's like, okay, all right,
we
all
can
right.
Stipulate these basic
yes,
facts.
We understand. Granted. Nobody who boards a dirigible signs up for a fiery crash. Okay. Nobody signs up and nobody should. Mm-hmm. I agree.
But here we are.
Sometimes shit happens. Right. So here we are.
What are we going to do about it?
Right. A list of places kids shouldn't be
so
afraid.
It's a zero, which feels kind of comedy.
And they've made a donation.
Because he's gotten rich off of saying nothing.
Oh, true.
Taylor Swift, it's a zero as well. Kind of wish Kathy, if it's Kathy Griffin, you'd like to have a little something, a little Tabasco
on it.
Just shot of Tabasco on it.
But she's going to claw her way out of that headless Donald Trump hole.
She's kind of in a get back into the middle mode.
Yep.
And not get into that, although I saw her on Bill Maher and she was lobbing some jokes in, so she wasn't, you know, she wasn't in Melba Toast mode. So it's not interesting enough for Kathy Griffin. And it's common Taylor Swift. I'm going with Common Swift. I've actually taken the two of them and made them one of the greatest dust eliminators there are. It uses electrostatic magnet technology and poetry to get rid of dust, and especially in those hard to reach corners. And
timeless melodies.
Okay.
I'm going Taylor Swift.
Taylor, you go Taylor, you go.
I don't know. I think I've made a donation, telling everyone you've made a donation. I think that's key. Mm-hmm. And I like what you guys are saying about Kathy needing to sort of stay a little bit on the straight and narrow right now. So I'm going to say Kathy.
Could be Common. Michael do this
Common.
Sometimes because I've been talking about Common and I'll throw it on there.
Common Swift. If it was one of those two, you got a half a point.
Ooh.
Hedge your bets.
Brian!
Yeah, I'm doing a parlay. All right, I'll just go with Common.
The blog belongs to Taylor Swift.
I never even thought it would be her.
Yeah, you're dumb.
You know what the key was? Places of worship. Start off as a country star, and then
there you go.
I'm only half dumb. Yeah, because Common talks a lot about God too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the score? Damn it! Should I edge it?
Evan's tied at one.
Yeah.
All right, let's all go different
on this one
and do the win. We'll go for the win.
If you're not moved by what these kids are doing, you're dead inside.
Oh, boy.
Is it Michael Moore, Matthew Broderick, or Rob Reiner?
Oh, all right. I think I got mine.
This is a toughie. Hey, you know, I've called Michael Moore an out-of-work lesbian trucker in terms of the look.
Have you?
It's come up before.
He is becoming what I labeled him 8 years ago, right? Every day that goes by, he becomes physically...
He's the physical embodiment.
...of an out-of-work lesbian trucker. All right.
I got mine.
Rob seems like low-hanging fruit. Then there's Michael Moore. It's pretty generic.
Yeah, it's also, right.
But it's also pretty abrasive and aggressive.
Yeah, because it makes me dead inside.
Did she have a strong
I have my take? Initial feeling this is not something Matthew Broderick would ever say.
Oh.
And I think that it's a little played out of Michael Moore. I would like to go Reiner. Oh, I think that's
taking
pretty...
the bald man.
Mm-hmm. Brian, I'll let you go second.
All right, Michael Moore.
If it's Broderick, I'm
it's
leaving.
Tough, because it's like he should be saying this, so sometimes we'll put him in just because he's so on the nose. Broderick feels wild cardy to me, so I'll take Broderick.
The blog belongs to Rob Reiner.
There it is. We all kind of knew that, right?
Yeah.
It feels on point, but
not
again, sometimes sometimes Mike, we don't line them up that way.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses, so we can play another round of Blah Blah Blog.
Yeah, my kids are in their spring break right now.
Nice.
Everyone goes somewhere on spring break.
Actually, I'm glad no one goes anywhere on the freeways anyway. This traffic's light.
The dads all stay. It's it's comical because the kids and the wives all go somewhere.
The wives
in my neighborhood. Oh yeah, the dads all hang back and then announce. First they go, "Where are your kids?" "Oh, they're going to San Diego for 4 days." "Oh, okay. What are you doing?" "I got to stay home and work." And then they pause and they go, "Best 4 days."
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was nice.
Time to cash in at Spank Bank.
Yeah.
So,
make a withdrawal.
That's right. I think most guys, if the wiring of most guys, by the time they get to that stage in life, the 4 days in the man cave with all watching what they want and sending out for Chinese and enjoying themselves.
That's a nice vacation.
Kind of
sure.
A win-win.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with the hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Edge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces the friction, maximizes engine performance three times stronger, fool.
Three times, fool.
Against viscosity breakdown, the leading full synthetic. What's this week's challenge, Max Pan?
All right, so this is sent by @Simmons123Troy.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I'm thinking of leasing my next commuter car. I would just turn it in for a new one when maintenance becomes an issue. Never leased before, but people say it works for them. How say you?
Let me talk to Smoothie Girl.
You rang?
Mm-hmm. Now, sweetie, owning the car is great.
Ooh.
Well, imagine if you could lease a smoothie.
Hmm.
And you just get that papaya smoothie, and you drink it for as much as you had to drink it and wanted to drink it.
Squeak.
And then at the end, you turn it in, and they give you a whole new, brand new smoothie.
Yeah, I want that one.
Yeah. But you have to give them a little bit of money when you turn it in as well, but not as much money as if you bought a brand new smoothie.
Ooh.
And you could write off the amount of draws you took from a straw on your taxes. Into the tax man. I got to say, I would look into it from, all right, here's my car advice for everybody. If you have a business and it's like, hey, this is my business car and I'm going to write off the mileage and the payments and deduct and whatever, then lease a car. And there's also something to be said for that. Just drive something for 3 years and never have to deal with the, oh, it's in the shop and I'm waiting and it's past its warranty and all that kind of stuff. Number one. Number two, you're going to buy a car, go with a couple years old. They're all bulletproof. They run for 1,000,000 miles now. You can still get the full warranty, and the price drops. Even in the nicest cars, the price just drops right through the floorboards when you go a couple years old.
I'm currently leasing my car, which I've never done before, and I can't figure out one good reason why I've ever purchased a car in the past. Because the second you leave, now we're just hemorrhaging money.
Certainly not new, and I used to think of, like, it was one of the, I always tell you, Brian, like, how expensive it is or how time-consuming it is to be poor.
Oh, my God.
When I used to buy my trucks, I had no credit. I could never go in and buy a truck. Mm-hmm. It was, I had to sell the truck I had, get the cash, and buy a new truck. Mm-hmm. But there was no vehicle that would carry me from one truck to the next truck, and I had to, like, pre-sell it. Get the cash, then go find the thing in the recycler and go score the new one. And then there was a lot of like, go find the truck, tell the guy you didn't have the money yet, but you're going to have the money. And then stand in front of my apartment building while just a cavalcade of the worst people in the world would come. You know the kind of people you attract when you're selling a Nissan standard bed, standard cab, bench seat, four-speed truck for like $1,800. Yeah. You know the dregs of society that show up?
I did that three times, and I did it three times.
Three times, fool!
Every time it was like, oh, $1,200, a little pricey. It's like, what do you want?
Get out of here!
Truck
and also, they'd go like, listen, how about I give you $700 cash, one of my daughter's friends, this jukebox that doesn't work, and whatever's in my mouth.
Right.
You'd be like, nah, I'd kind of need that $1,200.
Yeah, and there's always something. There's always something. I remember one truck I sold shortly after maybe 9/11, like mid-2002, and everyone who looked at it was like, well, gas pretty expensive. I'm like, oh, what a shock. And that's going to prevent you from buying a truck? You obviously need one, but it was, well, I don't know, gas is kind of expensive. Who do you think you're talking to?
There's a way to negotiate, and that's the thing that would drive me nuts is – I would have these like Datsun Nissan pickup trucks. I would go look at them on the dealership, although I had no credit, I had no cosigners, I had no ability to go into a dealer and buy a car. I had an ability to make $119 monthly payments, but I had no reason why they would let me do that. Yeah. And there were like the sticker at the time was like $5,500 to $7,000, depending on what you got on it. I have one that's 5 years old. I'm trying to get $1,800. And then at some point, the guy would kind of get to one knee and he'd sight up the sideline and go, looks like a little, look at a little dent there. What do you think? Someone opened their car door into it? And I'd go, yeah, it looks like someone hit it pretty good when they were opening their door, huh? That thing. And I'd go like, it's used.
That's why it's $1,800.
And there's a reason why it's $1,800. Yes. If you wanted a perfect version of this, you could pay another $5.
There's a Nissan dealership just down the road.
Yes. Yes, it looks like there's a little. Looks like the guy was smoking, and he went to flick the cigarette, right. And then and a cherry must have gotten it because there's a part of the carpet in the back that looks a little melted. It's like, yes, that's exactly what happened. That's why it's used, yep. And I'm passing the savings along to you, asswipe.
I would get a couple of. Well, what happened here? Well, yeah, it's a work truck. It was used for work.
Put you on your
heels. What do you think?
What happened here? I literally told a guy. Armenian guy, so I don't think he got it. But he literally did that thing where he like looked at the roof and it looked a little whatever. There's a scratch and he just went, what happened here?
Yeah.
And I said, meteor hit it. He's like, huh?
My friend.
Meteor. Yeah. Just came out of the sky space and just debris. Landed on it. Yeah. That's what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. It landed on it.
It's good.
Chunk of Skylab hit it. Like, what happened here? It's a goddamn truck. It's 7 years old. It's got 86,000 miles on it, and it's been used. Yeah. That's what happened here.
Do the math.
I got to tell you, my greatest moment, not in car dealing, in life. My two greatest moments in life. One, driving off a tow truck.
That's pretty good.
That was the greatest. But second greatest is that Armenian car dealer guy who just showed up. He's going back and forth and what happened and whoever put this fender on should have his hands cut off and all this kind of stuff. And we're just standing in front of my apartment and he just went, what is the least you can take for this truck? And I was like, $1,600. And he's like, cool. Oh, no. And I said, what is the most you can pay for this truck? Anyone? No, I screw up the story. I never gave him a price. He just said, what is the least you can pay? What is the least you can take for this truck? And I said, what is the most you will pay? And he just went right into negotiation mode. Mm-hmm. I couldn't pay a penny over $1,200. I said, well, then thanks for coming out. And he's like, well, what would you take? And I said, over $1,200. Yeah. And he's like, but what is the number? And I said, it's over
$1,200.
And you just said the most. And it was funny because he's a stupid guy. I went, you just said the most you would pay for this truck is $1,200. And he goes, that's right. That could not pay a penny over. And I said, right. That's
goodbye.
My point. My number is above that number. And I don't have to tell you that number because it's above. And if that's the most, then that's the most. So even if it's one penny above it, it'd be a waste of my time to tell you what that number is. He's like, tell me what that is. He's like, no, I won't. And I don't have to because you just stated emphatically you couldn't pay one penny over $1,200. And it was funny. He was dumb because he'd go, that's right. Not one penny. And I was like, he kept saying it like a normal person would go, look, obviously we're negotiating here. So I got a little wiggle room, but he just kept yelling, not a penny when I would tell him that, what he just said. And he laughed.
Are you
he
sure?
Was pissed.
I was going to say the funny version of this is that he won't let it go. Years later, Adam, what is the number I must know? You've moved on.
I walk by a mailbox and open it. His head pops up. What is
the number?
What is?
I must know.
All right, let me tell you what is. I'll tell you about Simply Safe, and then we'll get to our guests. We'll get to a little boxing. Simply Safe. Simpli. Simply Safe. Ready for anything that gets thrown at it. Storm takes out the power. Simply Safe is ready. Intruder cuts your phone line or destroys your keypad. Siren, doesn't matter. Simply Safe will still get you the help you need. Could cost you an arm and a leg, and it should, but it doesn't. They charge you what's fair. $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. These guys are a great company. Been working with these guys for years now. I have it. Dawson has it. Gergis has it. Maxipata has it. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. And again, we use it here, we use it at home, we use it everywhere, and you can check it out. Go to SimplySafe, two I's, simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. Oh, do we have the friends clap and the take the money and run clap? Ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Friends, right?
That's
let's see.
That was four?
Oh, it sounded like four.
It's only
four,
a clap.
Four claps and friends.
Wow.
Do we have to suspiciously clip the back of it so tightly to the clap that it sounds like let it run a little?
Right.
Well, I'm not calling you a liar, son.
Sound like four to me.
But you're of a shifty breed. No, but I mean, we clip.
I know, there's no reason to ever trust me, but I know for a fact it's four claps.
But like, when you're illustrating something, remember I told you about head and tail a little bit?
I'm aware.
Let's just hear the whole thing again. Right. Let's hear it. But don't clip the end so short, it makes it seem like they're
suspicious.
Yeah. We just want to hear it out.
Okay. No one told you that was going to be this way.
Job's a joke, bro. Wow, four. That's four.
This is very Mandela effect-y. I think we all thought there were five.
I've added a fifth clap.
Every time.
I do it
for
every time.
Years.
I'm guilty of that as well. Oh my God, are they the same claps?
I've met the writer of the song, and she says, everybody thinks it's five, it's four.
Just to put a bow on it.
And that Adam Carolla's an asshole. So I've been doing five the whole time.
We all have.
In my head, I've
Don't
been doing
yourself.
Five. So that's from the beginning sequence. Very fascinating. I would have never. When I hear it, I'm like, where's my fifth glass?
Right? Yeah.
You're right.
Oh. We all learned something important today.
All right. It's going in the coffee table book. Mike Lee, light heavyweight boxer, undefeated in studio. We'll talk to him right after a break in good sports, right after this.
This week at AdamCarolla.com, Take a Knee with Adam Carolla and Matt Larson.
A lot of people think that they're going to get a gun and that's going to be their answer, but just, you know, that pulls to mind to me the image of, you know, here comes the situation and then here's some lady rummaging around in her purse and pulls out the pistol. It's probably got like a gummy bear sticking out of the muzzle or something because she absolutely hasn't prepared herself in any way. You know, guns are not like magic. So it's mostly untrained people doing things that they were not prepared for and then dying.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights,
riffing on bats, done on movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
That's fun.
Ace is getting talking.
That's
fun. Shooting jerks with blasters.
That's
fun. Nasally podcasters.
That's fun.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the newest episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, you know, March Madness is already just about wrapped up. It's sort of sad to say. I've spoken my piece previously about it. It's a lot of fun. It is not exactly the greatest indicator of who the best team in the country is. When you have all these, what are the business with these nine seeds? More and more, college basketball, the difference between the very good and the pretty good is so narrow. Yeah, it determines nothing except it's fun to look at. Anywho, March Madness is here. Ace, I thought we should get in a quick review of our favorite college football and college basketball fight songs. I'll say you.
Okay.
You want to fire through some of the classics? Listen, this is one of those categories society has already boiled it down for us. You can throw in your wild card, but the fact of the matter is we now know it's USC, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Notre Dame. Do you need a refresher?
No, probably Wisconsin.
Let's start there then. Big Ten Badgers, here we go. Some on Wisconsin. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin.
It must have been great playing the flugelhorn in the 40s because all you ever had to do is learn to. Because every single song just like had that as a bass. You know, that was like the building materials of the song was. And then it would change gears.
What do you make of being in the band?
You know, it's one of I'm trying to think of the things you do. I don't know if you oftentimes think of this, where there are things you do that mean so much to you and your group, and then to everyone else, it's nothing or it's sort of laughable or sometimes even pathetic. You know what I mean? Like. Certain jobs, you know what I mean? Like it's like every time I pass through airport security and I see that schlub working the wand at airport security, I think, ugh, how sad for him. But I realize he's got like a badge and a vest and a name tag and he's feeling like he's showing up to work to do something. Although, you know, he's working in a Denver airport and there's no Al-Qaeda or ISIS passing through there or anything. He's not going to stop one criminal's entire
career.
Isn't it
funny that there's an inverse relationship? I mean, I think it's fair to say LAX is probably, I don't want to float this out there for any ne'er-do-well, but it probably is a target, you know, given it's the second biggest city and all that, a lot of traffic coming in and out of LAX. Those guys who are there doing the wand stuff, they seem less engaged oftentimes than the one like the two-bit airport that you kind of have to shuttle through. Those guys are the most hardo about all of it. It's like, nobody's coming to get it. I mean,
well,
shame the devil.
LAX just seems incompetent. It's not like they don't care. They just seem like they don't know what they're doing. But so when you picture being in a band, for the people in the band, I think there's this high level of esteem, and you have to practice and drill and drill and practice. And, you know, at some point you get in your 40s and you explain to someone that you came in fourth, but you almost podiumed, but one of the judges was from Marshall, and you know he loves Marshall, and the person's tuning out, and they don't care about what the Glockenspiel is, and whatever that is. You know, so it's like a big thing. It's kind of like rodeo clown. To them, it's like, we're saving lives. This is dangerous. We're dancing with the devil. To everyone else, the rodeo clown runs out. Oh, I'm going to get a beer. Does anyone want a beer?
That's the point. Is that who, that isn't it? That's exactly right. Is that the people who are in the college marching band, do they see, because it doesn't seem like they're aware of it at all as seriously as they take it and as hard as they work and good for them that they practice so hard. But doesn't it ever register to them like, hey, it's our time to hit the field and do our thing. Hey, why is everybody leaving? That's
right.
Why nobody sticks around to listen to the band.
But by the same token, so then we all have to go find a mirror and say, Well, wait a minute. What's a big deal to us that other people don't really care about that yeah. you're droning on about? And what does it mean to them? And, you know, how does, and then there are things.
Quality of fruit.
Then there are other things.
Something I might drone.
Oh, they just had the atomic. I think somebody sent me a tweet the other day that now there's like, there was the Honey Crisp. I think there's the Atomic Crisp as well, or something with the word crisp.
Our good
after
work
it.
Here on this show, Ace, has yielded countless
bushels.
Countless.
Say bushels.
Well done. Bushels of social media messages directed at me, encouraging me to try other variations of newfangled apples.
So the
I hear
number,
the Envy is really good. The Envy apple.
The number. So the things that should feel. So then you have to ask yourself, Shaq, what do you feel a little too good about?
Mm.
And then what should you feel better about, but you don't. I was standing at a star-studded party with Dax Shepard and Jason Bateman.
Wow.
And Dax Shepard is new to podcasting and is become a student of podcasting. And Jason Bateman, talking to him about podcasting, was like talking to my dad about cars. You know, it just sort of stands there and looks a little confused. But now to give Jason Bateman his due versus my dad, at least Jason Bateman has questions. My dad just waits till I'm done talking, and then we move on to something else, you know. But
nothing less satisfying in life.
But at a certain point, talking about all the podcasts out there and how many hundreds of thousands and blah, 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 and some people make money and some people don't. It's just a hobby for other people. And then after about a 20-minute dissertation on it, Jason said, well, who's number one? Who's the big dog? Like, who makes the money? Who this and that? And Dax just went, he does. It's Adam. He's the guy. And I realize that should feel like something, but it doesn't feel like much.
Really?
There are many the things in my life that feel like a lot are, you know, when I was 13 and we played the Channel Islands in a bowl game, not the island of Channel Islands. It's a long story, but we played a team. And at the end of the game, we didn't know these guys. Like, they weren't in our league. It was like a bowl game, you know, travel 2 hours out of town. And both teams lined up across the field, the 50-yard line, one at the 45-yard line, just lined it all up, the whole team across the whatever. And they just said, all right, you know, East Valley Trojans, who's the best offensive and defensive player on that side of the stripe? And they said, like, number 11, you know, we didn't know anyone's name or anything. Sure. That guy is the guy we couldn't tackle. And then on defense, 65, that guy seemed to make all tackles. And when it came time for them, they pointed at me.
Wow.
They're like, that number 53, that guy on defense. I got a cup the size of one of those things you put a poached egg in, or a soft-boiled egg in, like literally that size would hold an egg.
I can picture exactly.
Not a large egg either, just medium-sized egg. I got that cup. Later on, I used that cup as a kicking tee because worse than Charlie Brown, I didn't have a regular football. I had a football that I found at the park that had the laces removed, so it was bulging.
I know
where the laces were,
yeah.
And it was too fat, so it was like almost
it's like
round.
What Brendan Fraser played with in School Ties. Those things were outsized compared to current day football.
And I set it on this cup, and because my dad's a douche, he was inside, and I was just kicking the ball back and forth to myself, like set on the cup, run and kick it, go get it, go put it back. Eventually, I just kicked the cup in half, and it broke in half. But getting that cup, as voted on by the other team, that I don't have today, was the biggest, much bigger deal than the podcast in my mind.
Wow, that is something. Boy, that says something fascinating about you. All right, we'll stop there, and we'll keep doing the, we'll get back to the fight songs, and we'll continue to explore the psyche of one Adam Carolla on tomorrow's Good Sports. For now, though, sports fans, Podcast One Sports, Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, out. Good Sports.
Thank you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.